Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 96, the first paragraph, Do Not Be Discouraged If You're Prospect, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Laura R., Reader of the Text, Dana P., reading page 164 is Shelley E. The reference number for Monday, November 1st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,011. That's 18011. And for this morning, Tuesday, November 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,015. That's 18015. Today, our newcomer greeter this morning will be Kathy S., and Robin P. is doing the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I'll now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much. Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 896, the first paragraph. Do not be discouraged if your prospect. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Dana P. to begin reading. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. Can you hear me all right? I'm in my car.
We sure can. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I'm Dana P. in California. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowships failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says that if he had continued to work with them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. Thank you so much for your patience there. I had another call coming in, and wow, isn't that always what it is? Love this paragraph. And I have another program for that, a problem with chasing the other one. I remember when I was brand new in this program, my first sponsee was a young woman who I had decided that I was going to save her. And all of these things come up, you know, my character defects were in my face in such a big way. And I was seeking value from her, and I was going to be the savior and the protector. And it didn't work. It absolutely didn't work because I was so enmeshed in the outcome. And what I know today in this program, it is so amazing and beautiful. And when I begin speaking with potential sponsees, I tell them at the outset, you will recover or not despite you. And I've heard these wonderful, wonderful things about shining the lamp, and that's all that I can do. I can shine the lamp on the path I took to recovery. And as a recovered person in this program, I have to step out of myself and just give what I have to give and let the rest of it be up to God, because ultimately it's always about the higher power. And again, if I get too enmeshed in it, and or they get too enmeshed in it, I have to find a way to separate myself from that. So that's really about all I have to say on this topic. I just have to continue to put myself out there and offer myself to another sick and suffering person. But, you know, if they're not ready, they're not ready. And that's not up to me to decide. It's up to my higher power, and it's up to their higher power. And that comes to me through prayer and meditation. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you so much. And everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Dana P., for getting us started. I'll now be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Kaya P.
Was that Kaya P.?
Yeah, Kaya.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Kaya.
Thanks.
Christy M.
Bruce E.
Kathy B.
Shelly E. Okay, I have Haya P., Christy M., Bruce E., Kathy B., and Shelly E. Haya P., please share with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for leading the meeting. Welcome, everybody, and welcome to anyone who's new. My name is Haya P. I'm gratefully recovered from bulimia, compulsive overeating, and restricting here in Colorado. I live in Colorado. So I love this paragraph because it shows me how to work with others, and it also shows me what the traits of a person who really wants it, right? They're desperate enough. They'll accept with eagerness what we offer. And that was me when I came in, and every level of surrender that I've experienced over the last over three decades, and which I'm extremely grateful for each and every one. And I have a note here. You know, eagerness does not necessarily mean I like it, right? That they like it, but they're willing. I remember I said to my sponsor when I went through, when I had a profound experience through the steps, which is how I take people through now. And I said to her, I'm willing to do anything you tell me except change my religion. That was like the old, like, I was like, I'll do anything. I was out of ideas and I needed power. My problem is lack of power and I needed power. The other thing is that it really shows so much dignity for each and every one of us. You know, it's such grace by which we get here, by which we recover. Yes, I have to put in a lot of effort, but as the text says, you know, I didn't do anything, right? That made that happen. I cleared a path to allow it to happen. And sometimes, you know, it takes what it takes. And I think sometimes people maybe use it as a little sarcasm when they'll, you know, when the text says, you know, go out and try some controlled drinking. I don't think the intention is like, yeah, fine, go out and try some controlled, you know, eating. It's really, maybe you need to try some controlled eating. I mean, maybe whatever it's going to take to get to a place of, I'll do whatever you tell me. And not because I tell them what to do. It's, I just show them what I did and what I continue to do. So I'm very, very grateful that we have such great instructions here in the text. And as my, you know, it says, you know, he often says that if he had continued to work on them, he might have deprived many others, like working on people. Thank you. I don't work on people. I work with them. Thanks so much, Haya in Colorado.
Thank you so much, Haya P. in Colorado. Christy M., will you share with us now, followed by Bruce E.? Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering bulimic, overeater, and anorexic in Oregon. And what I like about this passage is this book and this program gives us a recipe for abstinence and serenity. And, you know, when I started this program, I thought the recipe was going to be a diet. And really what this last part is the instructions are on how to spread our message. And the gift of abstinence that I've been given, it's not just for me alone, it's meant for me to share. And if I'm not doing that, if I'm not doing service, if I'm not working with others, if I'm not sharing the message, then that impacts my abstinence and serenity. And that's such a different way of looking at, you know, food and our health. And it's just a good reminder of, like, that's the ultimate goal of this, is to help others get free. And it doesn't say we help others get free by, like, calling them out on their behavior and what they're eating. It doesn't say, you know, they get free, or we help them get free by trying to control or be their higher power. You know, it says we get free by sharing our message of hope and by living our program to the best of our abilities and doing kind of attraction and not promotion. And this also reminds me, it reminds me of this gift of service and how that's an integral part of my program. And I can get stuck on the food plan, and I can get really into the, you know, the day-to-day and lose the spiritual part of this. And the spiritual part of this is like this act of love and service and giving. And that's at the core of being abstinent. And that's a reminder that this is a spiritual program. You know, it also reminds me, something that I struggle with as part of my disease is this aspect of controlling and not trying to be others' higher power. I think part of the first three steps is allowing our higher power to submit our life and will to our higher power, and also letting others have their own higher power. And I've learned along the way not to judge other people's program. Like some people, I've heard speakers, they show up to the program and they go to a couple meetings and they're like abstinent in a few days. And like, that wasn't my story. That wasn't my journey. It took me 2 or 3 years to get abstinent. And that was the journey my higher power needed me to go on. Like, that was my abstinent story. And what I've had to learn about this is, like, everybody has their own journey with their higher power. Okay. And some journeys look different. Thanks, and I'll wrap up. But it's just a reminder to allow others the dignity of having their own higher power and taking their own journey towards abstinence. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. Bruce E., will you share with us now, followed by Kathy B.? Good morning, Bruce. Star one, Bruce. It sounds like Bruce might have had to step away. We'll go with Kathy B.
I'm here now.
Oh, okay, here. Very good.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry for the delay there. And thanks for everybody on the line and everybody that's doing service here. And this is a great paragraph. And it says, do not be discouraged. So, yeah, I can see why he put that in there, because I've been so discouraged. I haven't been discouraged when I've sponsored somebody and they haven't worked out. I've been more fearful, because now what am I going to do? You know, where am I going to find somebody? But it goes on to say here, you are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. Yeah, so I have to look beyond my own character defects and my own selfishness and self-centeredness, and realize if somebody doesn't work out, that somebody will come along when the student's ready, the teacher appears, when the teacher, yes, right, you know how that works. So then it goes on to say, you find it a waste of time working with a man who cannot or will not work with you. So, you know, I have to realize a lot of people just aren't ready. You know, I wasn't ready at first, you know. Man, I messed around with this thing for years and thinking I could diet with group support. And finally, I had enough pain that I realized that I really needed to get real about this whole thing. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. So yeah, if I have to walk away from a relationship, well, when I'm staying in a relationship and a person's not ready, I'm just getting mad and frustrated, and I'm keeping them from, I'm delaying their recovery, you know. And just like I had people do this for me, you know, they really needed to let me go, and they didn't, and it delayed my recovery. I needed the shock of somebody saying, "Hey, you know, I got to find it. You know, you got to find another sponsor or something like that." So I'm happy to say I got a good sponsor now. We're working through the steps. We're going into pretty quick here. We're going into We Agnostics, so we'll be on step two pretty soon. So that's good. And things are going good. I'm abstinent today. So, yeah, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Kathy B., will you share with us now, followed by Shelley E.? And then we're going to be opening up the lines. If you're just joining us, we are on page 96, the first paragraph. Do not be discouraged if you're prospect. We're commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. So Kathy B., please share with us, followed by Shelley E. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy B. I live in Oklahoma. Thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. I really like this paragraph. I'm fairly new through working through the 12 steps. And so I have to admit, when a potential sponsee doesn't call me back or decides that they're not willing to do the work, I do get discouraged. And I start questioning myself, am I enough to sponsor and help another? You know, what's wrong with me? But the book tells me that this kind of thinking is selfishness. And that's my ego. And the book says that selfishness is my problem. So when I am back in selfishness, I need to remember that I need to go to my higher power. It's a reminder that I need to do a 10th step. And the last sentence in this paragraph reminds me that it's okay if the sponsee isn't ready, you know, to work the steps. That's okay because there's others out there that I can be of service to. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy B. from Oklahoma. And now we'll have Shelley E. share. And when Shelley's done, I'll be taking some more names. So get ready to share. We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead, Shelley. Good morning.
Thanks, Dawn. Good morning. Thanks for your service. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Northern Michigan. I appreciate the opportunity to share. I love this paragraph. Like I love the big book, you know, all of the paragraphs. But I look forward to sponsoring, and I love sponsoring, and I learn more, I think, from my sponsees than they could ever learn from me. You know, and I see myself in every potential sponsee that calls. I've been there. I've done that. The ugly, I know it, and I see it. I can see it and hear it coming. And I was that sponsee that had an idea of just the way I was going to be sponsored and just the things that I was willing to do. And I really appreciate that, and I appreciate the ability to hear it when a potential sponsee calls me. And sometimes when I point it out and I say, I recognize myself in you, and maybe we might want to look at doing something a little different, or how's that working for you? Sometimes, you know, that
they're not ready to hear that. But sometimes they are, and sometimes they're willing to go to any length. And if they're not, then that's fine. Sometimes I start out with someone, and it becomes apparent that they aren't willing, you know, when we go back through the list of what the things we might want to do are. And if they're still not willing, what I can't allow someone to do is disturb my serenity. What I don't say to them is, maybe you're not ready, because, you know, they could be more than ready, but they're just not hearing it through me. They're not hearing God's voice through me. So I can just say, you know, maybe you need somebody else's voice. I don't say you're not ready, because, you know, the fact is they could be more than ready. But what I have to be very careful in not doing is stepping in the way of their recovery. I don't, you know, I'm not the only person that they can go to. And what I always think about is that story of the cocoon. And I know that if you tear open the cocoon too soon, the creature's wings don't get developed. And I am not willing to be that person to push them or to, you know, demand that they do things and open that cocoon too soon, because it's in the struggle that those wings get prepared for flight. And so even if my words are just a couple of little pearls of wisdom from God that they can get, I'm willing to do that. But otherwise, I will just set them free and let them go on. But in the meantime, I have three or four going all the time, and it's a beautiful process. Thank God that being a sponsor is what keeps me in my program. Thanks, guys. Have a good day. I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. from Michigan. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Sharon Larry C. G.
Was that Sharon C?
Tammy.
Larry G.
Okay, I have Larry G.
Sharon Tammy. G.
And Tammy, what was your initial, Tammy?
M.
Tammy M, Larry G,
Arlene V,
Arlene Z, and was there a Sherry KB in there?
Sherry KB.
Okay.
Craig K.
Craig K. Okay, let me tell you I have. I believe I missed someone. Larry G, Tammy M, Arlene Z, Sherry KB, and Craig K. Was there someone I missed?
Do you have room for anyone else?
Yes.
Donna B.
Okay, Donna B.
Thank you.
Okay, I have Larry G, Tammy M, Arlene Z, Sherry KB, Craig K, and Donna B. Go ahead, Larry. Please share with us. Press star 1, Larry G. Love to hear from you. Okay, perhaps Larry G. had to step away. We'll pick him up later. Tammy M., would you
Larry
share with
G.
us?
Larry G. from California.
Okay, there you are, Larry. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Sure.
I only been on this call for 2 years, and I can't figure out how to mute. yeah, my name's Larry G., and I'm recovered compulsive eater from California, and really great to be starting my day with a Vision for You call. I never want to forget the lessons that I've learned in Bill's story, and I often think, you know, where would we be without Bill surrendering? Bill surrendered, and where would we be if Abby came with a heavy message, lecturing, trying to convert some big box religion? I don't think maybe we would have gotten started sometime, but that certainly wouldn't happen at that year. And I want to remember those lessons. Number one, I want to remember that I have to stay surrendered to be recovered. That is a single most important ingredient, is to be surrendered. And I surrender by admitting that I'm powerless over food, compulsive eating, and that my life is unmanageable. And I want to remember that I'm not God. I tried sponsoring prior to Vision. It was a bloody mess because either I was taking credit for someone's recovery or I was in the depths of depression because somebody was firing me. Well, no one hired me, but finding another sponsor, you know what I mean. So Abby comes and talks to Bill, and he's gracious. He's kind. He is creating some spaciousness for Bill to make his own decision, and he's not lecturing Bill. And I want to follow Abby. I want to follow Abby's lead on that. And so when people come to me who are considering being sponsored or going through the steps, I want to be just as gracious and kind as Abby was to Bill. There's nothing I really can say or do. I don't believe there's nothing I can say or do that is going to help a person to recover or to go out and do more research. That's up to God. But I certainly can treat people with compassion, just as people have treated me with compassion. And that was not always the case. There was a lot of me, mommy, and daddies in AA and OA, and maybe that's something I needed at the time. But when I came into OA in May of 2020, I was broken. And I had a very compassionate person who sponsored me, and I have a very compassionate sponsor today. And that's the kind of person I want to be, is tolerant and loving and compassionate to the OA member who still suffers, and not forget the lessons that I've learned in Bill's story. Thank you, Don. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Now, Tammy M., will you share with us, please, followed by Arlene Z. Good morning, Tammy.
Hi. I like this paragraph. I'm a grateful recovered sponsor and actually pretty new. And the first sentence I see is, do not be discouraged if your prospect is does not respond at once. I don't have a sponsor yet. And so sometimes I tend to get, and I do have a sponsor. Sometimes I get discouraged, but and I do lots of 10 steps with my sponsor. And, yeah, I have selfishness. And I'm like, am I good enough to sponsor? And I turn it over to God, and I'm like, you know what? I'm also working on myself, too, at the same time, and keeping my abstinence and doing the work I need to do and keeping up my meetings, and someone will come along. Someone will come along at the right time, and I will be sponsoring somebody at the right time. And in God's time, someone will come along for me, and that's the way I see it. And I love the big book, and I love the meetings, and I just know I've been abstinent for a long time, and I'm doing what I need to do. I'm doing my 10th and 11th steps every day, and I'm doing meetings every single day. So, and that's all I want to say, and I'll pass with that. Thank you for allowing me to share and everybody doing their service today.
Oh, thank you so much, Tammy M., for sharing with us today. Arlene Z., will you share with us now, followed by Sherry KB, and you're welcome to share where you're calling from so a member from our list could contact you. Good morning, Arlene.
Hi. Good morning. It's Arlene Z., as in boy, from Los Angeles, California. And thank you for letting me share. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, great. You know, this paragraph has special meaning to me because I have my godson. I'm very close with his mother, and my godson is going through some difficult times with a dual addiction, and I cannot speak with him directly because it is through his mother that I have this information. But it's breaking my heart, and it was breaking my heart because it was affecting his marriage until he eventually received an ultimatum from his wife, and I was told Sunday that he went to his first meeting, and I wanted to cry because I was feeling frustrated, and yet I was carrying the message the best I could through his mother. And because of my experience in program, you know, we were able to talk about it. My other experience is speaking with a fellow and trying to guide her. I've been in program for many years, but I'm still fairly newly abstinent. And what I love about this particular meeting is that it opens me up to wanting to really act, to be like the Big Book. And it makes me want to know more and respond in the way that the Big Book responds. And this person asked me a question that was really outside the realm of the Big Book. I had an opinion. And so I have to remember that it's not about my opinions. This is not therapy, that I really, all I can do is, you know, share what's in the Big Book and share my recovery, what I have experienced and what has worked for me. And sometimes that's a little tricky, especially if I know somebody, it's not going to work for somebody else and they want to try it. And I have to say, well, this is my experience. And, you know, I mean, if they're going to try it, they're going to try it. And I'm here. I'm here, whether it's for the success or the train wreck. I want to be here because that's how my sponsor has been here for me. And thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Arlene B. from California. Now, Sherry K. B., will you share with us, followed by Craig K.? Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Dawn. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Dawn, and Team Tuesday and everybody on the line. Welcome, newcomers. I so appreciate this paragraph because it's giving me clear and precise directions on what to do and how to handle, a sponsee or a prospect. I, too, believe... Before I did this work in the Big Book, I had my own ideas about how to sponsor. And now that I've done this work for many years, I get clear and precise directions on how to do it. And I also know that if they don't want to do the work, I don't know how I can be of service to them. That's the bottom line. It's like I can like you, we can be, you know, fellows, all of that. But if you're not willing to do the work, I can't help you. I can only give you what I've been given. And so I don't want to, like it says here, which is one of my favorite things in here, it says that, you know, that the person, I want to make room for people who want this. I want to be of service to people who want this. It's not for people who need it, it's for people who want it. Because I have to keep my recovery going, and part of my recovery is working with other people because I need them as much as they need me. It talks about Bill Wilson here, and I think about the stories I heard about Bill Wilson and the history around some of his ideas. And thank God for Dr. Bob, and somebody mentioned Ebby too, because, you know, Ebby was saying find your own consciousness of God. And so with that, I know that if I ever run into a problem, I can talk to a fellow who's recovered and they can help me put my head together about what to do about a person. I've been in so many different situations through the years with working with people and whether how long to keep them or not or whatever, giving them chances and whatnot and all this. But, you know, it's really up to their higher power and up to my higher power, and my higher power will speak through me if I will step aside my ego and let God work through me with someone. It makes such a difference. And that, you know, I know that God brings me the people I'm supposed to work with, and if it doesn't work out, I don't take it personally. You know, that's what's really important for me, is not to take it personally, that I'm just there to do God's will and God's work, and that whoever's supposed to be put in front of me, that I can help. That's what I want to do, is just to be of service and, you know, keep my ego out of it and not get my feelings hurt or feel like, you know, I haven't done my job, because all I can do is be of service and give them, lay the spiritual toolkit at their feet, which are the 12 steps. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB from California. Craig K., please share with us now, followed by Donna B. Good morning, Craig.
Hi, my name's Craig. I'm a compulsive overeater and a sugar addict, and I'm from Providence, Rhode Island. And I'm very new to the program. I actually introduced myself a few weeks back, left my number, and I was so inundated by numbers and calls that I actually couldn't even call anybody back. And I talked to my sponsor, and she said, you know, isn't that amazing that you're so inundated by love and support that you that you become almost overwhelmed? And it really was. It was love and support. I couldn't believe how many people had responded to me. And I have a temporary sponsor, and she's working so hard with me. And I started out, you know, I think my problem is that I'm also an alcoholic, and I've done AA. And so I thought, okay, I can just kind of do AA and sort of change the words. And I'm also doing, you know, OA. But I realized, no, I have to do this program completely from the beginning. I have to listen to meetings. I have to go to full meetings. I have to find a sponsor. And even though I'm doing AA, I need to do this program separately on its own, as its own thing. So I'm slowly learning, and she's getting a little exasperating because I keep slipping. And she keeps trying to get me to call people. And I've just had this, you know, just this thing. I just have not been able to call people. And I kind of had a bit of an epiphany the other day. And I just said, Craig, you know, you're being dumb. You've done this before. I said, just give somebody a damn call. And so I called somebody. I called one of the, I have a whole list of who has called me all this time on my phone. And I said, call one of the first people that called you. So I did, and they weren't home. But the point is that I made the call, and it's the first time I've made the call. And that was huge for me. And then with my sponsor, she's wanting me to get a food program and to, you know, increase it. And so I finally did the food program the way that she had, you know, suggested it. And so I feel like, okay, I'm finally getting a start where the point is, you know, these programs are designed to help us, and they work. And the way our job is to do the work, is to follow the program, and is to do the work. And I mean, calling people is essential. It is the whole root, I think, of a lot of these things, is to talk to others and share their experiences. And so I'm going to talk to my sponsor tonight, and I hope to have a good conversation. Thank her for kind of putting up with me and staying with me, because I know that it hasn't been easy. And, you know, I still am looking for a full-time sponsor as well. But I'm going to go through my calls, and hopefully through that, you know, I'm going to try to call back each person that had called me. And hopefully that I will find a good full-time sponsor. But the main thing I'm trying to say is I think that, you know, I was unsure and I was uncommitted. Okay. And now I realize I am committed, and that I need to fully commit myself to this program for it to work for me. So that's all I really got for today. It was great to hear everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig K. from Rhode Island. And we are commenting on page 96, the first paragraph. Do not be discouraged if you're prospect. So Donna B., please share with us this morning.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver, Colorado. Do not be discouraged. The word discouraged to me, and I didn't look it up, so I don't know if this is precisely accurate, but it evokes in me the thought that being discouraged is the opposite of being hopeful. And for me, so much of carrying the message is carrying a message of hope, that recovery is possible, that I was in a state where I was seemingly hopeless. And now I live in a state where even when the desire to volume eat arises, I have tools available to me that allow me to recoil as if from a hot flame. So I think that it's important that even as I work with people who are struggling, that are unable to get abstinent, that are unable to do the work, for whatever reason that is, I don't want to appear to be discouraged in them, because part of what I'm doing is carrying a message of hope. So even as they struggle, I match their struggle with a message of hope. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. We do have time for one or two more brief shares. If you have not shared, we value your experience, but if you have not shared in the last 3 days, you're welcome to share with us. Who would like to share?
Robin P.
Okay, Robin P. Okay, Jordan, I don't believe we're going to have time for you. I was looking a little more accurately at the time. So we'll go with the first name. And
Robin,
thank you. I blanked out there. Thank you, Robin. Please share with us.
You know what? I could just do a short share, and then Jordan could still share.
Okay, so, go for it.
I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I'm just so grateful because this has been a learning process, just like everything else, you know, sponsoring people. And sometimes I overgave, and I learned I couldn't carry the person. I could just carry the message. And it wasn't about me, and I didn't have to do it perfectly. I just had to carry the message by, you know, as Harlan says, recover, recover, recover. If I want to help somebody, I recover, recover, recover. And then I just get to do my best and let go of the rest. And it works every time. And I'm so grateful. It's not about me. And I just get to be an instrument of God's peace. So God bless everybody with a really abstinent, blessed day. Thanks so much. Thanks for your service, Dawn.
Thank you, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Now, Jordan L., would you take like a minute and a half share, please? Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. I'll be quick. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent with you guys this morning. Just real quick, there's a joke in Alcoholics Anonymous about this paragraph. So the newcomer comes in, right, and starts working the steps with their sponsor. They're a little bit confused on what to do about sexual relations. And their sponsor's like, well, there's some pretty good advice in the big book. Why don't you take a look at page 69? And what it says on 69 is like, if sex relations are difficult, you throw yourself all the harder into working the steps, right? But the newcomer wasn't listening very carefully and goes to page 96 by accident and reads this paragraph on what to do about their sex relations. Do not be discouraged if your first process doesn't work out. Keep going. And it just kind of lightens the mood a little bit. Because the fact of the matter is, when it comes to the newcomer, that message of hope is what we carry here. We don't carry the mess, but we carry this message. And we're the only ones that are here to carry it. So we got to make sure that we're doing that. That's our responsibility to this fellowship and all the people that came before us and all the people that are going to come in after us. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. And we're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Northern Michigan. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
We'll just wait for the recording to be stopped.